He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm well.
So before we go into COVID, I did want to talk a little bit about the measles. There's a new national report this morning that measles cases are surging. I think I was reading that they've surged 79% worldwide this year. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, I mean, measles is definitely a concerning virus, and it's completely vaccine preventable. So usually when we start seeing outbreaks of measles, it usually means that, you know, there's a decrease in the vaccination. And it's a very infectious organism, so it actually can spread very easily. So if someone has the measles and someone else does not have the vaccination, then they are very likely to get it. And you may have known in the early 2000s there was actually a major outbreak of measles in Disneyland, which, again, a lot of travelers, people who no longer were getting the vaccine or, you know, didn't keep up to their vaccination schedule, they ended up getting the measles.
And I think, too, Dr. Brown, because I know for some people, they think you only started coming on the show because of COVID, which was why they were fearful you'd leave once COVID went away. But you were coming on the show before COVID ever got here, for a couple months before COVID got here. And I remember talking to you about the measles outbreak here in Connecticut. Was it 2019? I mean, we talked about it in 2020, but wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was. I'd have to double check.
I think it was, though.
It gets a little blurred for me after the COVID.
I can't imagine why. I don't know why you would say that. Why do you say such silly things? No, I feel pretty confident. I think it was 2019 that we were seeing a measles outbreak here in Connecticut. Do you remember why our numbers seemed to be going up? Was it the same thing? It was just because of lack of vaccinations?
It really is. And that's really I hate to say it, but that's the only reason. You know, if there's a decreased amount of people who are actually getting vaccinated, or, you know, there was some people who didn't get the boosters, because measles fits into the MMR schedule, and okay. MMR is actually given, I mean, it's, as you know, with your child, it's given multiple times. So if you miss one, I believe if you miss one around the college age, then you, as an adult, it's possible that you can get the measles.
Okay. Interesting. So basically to combat the issue, I would think, is that we just have to have people get vaccinated.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, if a child's gone through the regular, if we've gone through the regular MMR protocol, then by the time we're adults, it's almost a non-issue. It really has to do with unvaccinated. And interesting enough, it's unvaccinated and you know, those who come from countries that they don't have a vaccination schedule.
Oh, that's it. Okay. I think I was reading that. So, I don't know. I have a weird photographic memory sometimes, and I can't make sense of it myself sometimes. But I believe I was reading that when we did have our outbreak here in Connecticut, I don't remember the percentage, but there was a good chunk of the people who were, they got measles because of international travel. They were international traveling, and if they weren't, they were all unvaccinated. Every person who contracted it was unvaccinated or not fully vaccinated. And I think a good portion of them, at least a quarter of them who had gotten the cases in 2019, I believe that it was international travel. So that makes sense. So if they're not,
which actually fits, because you're going to see, you will see it more, you know, outside of the country, because because we do spend a great deal of time vaccinating patients.
Okay, interesting. We're talking to Dr. Brown this morning of Griffin Health, and we usually talk about COVID, but this morning I wanted to dive into measles. And there's already common misconceptions out there, Dr. Brown, about the measles. So because I've already read this on, I don't know, too many platforms, this is what I have to do, unfortunately. There are some misconceptions that the measles outbreak or that cases are going up because immune systems have been down for a couple of years with COVID and isolation and everything. They're not connected, correct? They are not correlated.
That is correct. Okay. Yes, they are not correlated at all. We have not seen that there's been any increase of any other type of infection secondary to COVID. I mean, if you're actively sick with COVID, you can get a bacterial infection. But in general, we have not seen that there's an increase of really any other viruses. And as you and I have discussed before, there really isn't. I mean, the immune system doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It's not it's not a you know, it's not like a glass full of water, you know, and if you drink all that water, you're done with your immune system. It doesn't quite work that way.
Right.
It really does. I mean, it really does. It continually renews itself. It continues to have the memory of previous vaccines, the memory of previous infections, and then the next time your body sees that infection, then it reacts.
So let's talk about COVID now and look at our numbers. I know right now we're sort of a little higher than we had been in previous months. Could you tell us sort of our report card, if you will, this morning? Where do we kind of stand and what does that mean?
So we are definitely seeing an increase. And, you know, it's, you know, hopefully this is not a, you know, is not more than just sort of a little blip. You know, and again, we can theorize on why this happens, but you can assume every time that, you know, a lot of people are together without masks on, indoors in particular, then, you know, you're likely to get upticks. It does look like we are definitely seeing an uptick. We're not seeing a major increase in the hospitals, but we have seen an increase in hospitals. But again, in the community, and I'm sure people are seeing this in the community, in the, you know, in families, we are seeing people who are getting positive. So that's the bad news. The good news is that it's been relatively mild, and I think that's why we haven't seen a lot of hospitalizations. So I say from hospitalizations, we've gone from maybe 5 to maybe 10%, at least here. So we're seeing it. I think we need to be careful, keep an eye out. I think, you know, honestly, Melissa, I think your, you know, last comment about, you know, traveling and maybe wearing a mask is still a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I think that maybe spring break may have encouraged this a little bit.
Sure. And I mean, I agree. I think we sort of knew that was coming because you had said, like, we're anticipating that we may see this tick up once they got rid of the masks mandates. And I think you had even said a couple months ago, Dr. Brown, you had said once they're gone from travel, depending on when they do it, because we didn't know when it would be, you know, you said entering the spring and summer months, we might see just a quick tick up because it's immediate, like, all right. It's gone. We're done. We're done with this.
Well, yeah, we're hoping. So again, it is increased. I mean, we are seeing, and I think I'm looking at the state website. It's about 8% positivity. So that's everybody who's actually getting PCR that's reported to the state is 8%, which means it's probably a little higher than that.
Right.
Because we know that people are doing the home tests.
Yep.
And then they said throughout all the hospitals, at least yesterday, was only 210 people. And again, we're not seeing them filling our ICUs. You know, we're not, and again, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be concerned. I'm actually, if you're vaccinated, you are, you know, you're good. I would actually say, and this is sort of my promise to you sort of last week and the week before about vaccine and getting the booster. If you are the vulnerable population and you are older than 50, this is definitely an uptick. So if you're concerned about it, I would definitely get that fourth shot.
Okay. And we're chatting with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. We were chatting about measles. We moved over to COVID. No big surprise there. Dr. Brown, you had just mentioned that for those of you who are 50 and older, you really should go and get that fourth booster. If you were thinking, I don't know if I should get the fourth shot, this is the time to do it for COVID because we are seeing an uptick. And while our hospitalizations may not be as high, our percentage our infection rate is high right now. Here's a question for you. Some people have heard, if they are in that 50-plus category, that they should go and get a blood test done to first check on their antibody count before going to get that shot. What do you think about that?
That's actually, I mean, that's a great question because you can tell if you have antibodies to the vaccine. There's definitely an antibodies. The only problem with that is if you have antibodies, that's good, but you don't know how well they're actually working. So all it would say is that you've potentially had exposure to the vaccine, but it doesn't say how much of the neutralizing antibodies that are really the most effective thing against the virus are actually there. So it gives you a test of sort of yes or no, it gives you sort of a number, but that number doesn't really connect well with sort of your ability to either not get the infection or have a minor infection when you do get it. So that it depends where you are. We do use it sort of as a plus or minus for patients who have cancer, people who are transplants. So if they've gotten the vaccine three or even four times, we will check their antibodies to see if it's actually, if it's positive. If it's not positive, then we'll give another booster. And that's sort of it. So it's really more important if it's negative. If it's positive, it doesn't really mean, unfortunately, at this point, it doesn't really mean all that much. It doesn't mean not to get another vaccine.
Okay. So even if you got a blood test and it says you are positive, it's a matter of you don't know how strong or how many antibodies you actually have that could fight off COVID effectively. Do I have that correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right, yeah. So, okay. So again, it's a more of a quantitative thing, and that test really is not quantitative. It doesn't give you a true number of how much you have.
It's like a pass or fail. You don't actually
really
know
is
if
a pass
you,
or fail.
Yeah, you don't know if you got
even
an
though
A,
it has
B,
a number,
yeah.
Even though it has a number, it really is a pass or fail.
No, but that's a really great analogy because, you know, you could take a college course and say you got a pass fail, but you've got somebody in the class who really got a C and you really got like an A+ in the class. There's a huge difference between the two.
Absolutely.
It's a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Dr. Brown, here's a question. And this is, I think, more just to kind of clean things up. For people who do contract COVID, whether they are vaccinated or not, maybe it looks a little bit different. I know we recently, our company got a couple weeks ago, the timeline, what it looks like, you know, how long you have to isolate, how long you're in a mask, you know, when can you be free, if you will. What does that timeline look like? I just want to make sure that that is public knowledge, what the timeline looks like. If you today tested positive for COVID, what does that mean for you?
So if you tested right now, then looking at current guidelines, it's 5 days is what you're essentially have. So you think about it, if you have symptoms for 5 days and your symptoms resolve very quickly and you no longer have, you know, symptoms or they're significantly improving, then you're on isolation for 5 days. That's sort of the official CDC recommendation. Now that means after the 5 days, for another 5 days, you have to make sure that you're really vigilant about not spreading the virus. So wearing a mask, washing your hands becomes really important, and keeping a distance from people. The recommendation is if you don't have to go out, then you don't go out. But that's 10 days. By around 14 days, you're good. There's really nothing to, you're no longer infectious. As long as your symptoms have resolved, or resolving, we know they can last a bit longer, you're actually in good shape.
Okay. And I know this can get political. I don't want to go that route. I really just want to talk about more the science behind it. But it's a good question. You know, you had mentioned that right now we're at 8% for an infection rate, and we're kind of free to do anything, right? I mean,
correct.
We're free to get on a plane without a mask. We're free to sit in a school among other kids who aren't even vaccinated and not wear a mask. We're free to kind of, you know, go back to hugging, shaking hands, all that, because mandates are gone. Which is not a bad thing. I think when you tell people what to do, we talked about this last week, I think it makes people more just frustrated and angry with the situation. And they're more inclined to make bad decisions when they are told what to do versus, hey, here's what you should do. You let me know what you want to do. With that being said, the question is, why when we were at 3%, were we, I guess, more vigilant, if you will? Why did we have more mandates in place? And why, in your professional opinion, do you think at 8% we're just not as scared? We're not as quick to put things back in. You know what I'm saying? Does that
Yeah, absolutely. So basically you're saying, you know, why, if we see a spike or an increase in the current COVID positivity rate, you know, we've seen increases before, and we've really, you know, there's been mass mandates. I think this comes down to, the issue that we did talk about last week, which was using common sense. You know, and the problem is that just like the light switch, you know, a mandate is either you have a mandate or you don't have a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes part of the problem is that people get so caught up in the fact that you have to have it, that infection control really isn't about everybody has to wear it. It's really about, you know, which groups of people, which areas, you know, using that common sense to say, okay, these are the areas that are more likely going to spread infection. You know, if you're at home with family, with, you know, a few family members and nobody's sick, then you're fine. But as soon as you start going into the different areas and you're tight, you know, you're actually in tight spaces and there's a lot of people that are with you, you know, that makes more sense to take more precautions. And I think there has been different organizations and even even different artists, musicians who've actually said, you know what, if you're going to come, you have to be, you know, you have to be vaccinated and you have to wear a mask. I mean, there's, and I think they're trying to help a little bit with the common sense, because we do know that if there's large groups that come together, that those are the ones that are actually going to get it. So I don't really look that much about the positivity, at least sort of knowing what we have to deal with here, and then make suggestions to you, Melissa, and hopefully listeners to say, listen, now is the time to be more cautious. We are seeing an uptick. You need to be careful, because if someone has a cough or a cold, they may have COVID. And if you're susceptible, then you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brown, we really appreciate you coming on this morning, giving us the extra time, and we'll talk again next week.
Very good, Melissa. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Dr. Brown.